full hair and bite. One of the worst fights I ever saw was between about two 16-year-old girls.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Really?
No, hair pulling. That's what we got talking about. Now, you may be right in saying that the women probably could fight a better war than...
No, I'm not saying they would fight better, but they would be more about it than what men generally are.
Well, men are sadistic enough.
That's true.
Malmedy.
We don't need to add to it by putting women out there alongside of them, right?
Well, I think they're all right, though, the women. I mean, there's a difference. This women's web, to me, doesn't make sense.
Let's get back to St. Paul's. They have a school for children that began at the beginning of the church's existence. Were there any public schools in the area at the time, and if so, was there any specific reason for St. Paul's having its own?
As far as the public schools in the area at that time are concerned, I couldn't give you any information, but I do know that one of the reasons for a separate school at that time, which could come into play there too, in addition to there being not good school facilities at that time, would be that they were a separate ethnic group and that they taught the language which they had brought over from the old country.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was wondering about that. It said that the St. Paul's didn't start teaching English until 1865. I was wondering what the language was before this, and was it the prevalent language of the area or just the congregation?
I think it was the prevalent language of the congregation. They called those schools German schools. Just like in Frankenmuth, they had German schools right along. They taught German. Now, I never went to a parochial school, but I was brought up in a German home, although my grandmother already was born here, but we kept up the German. Mm-hmm. And I learned the German at home. Also, how to read and write. Grammar of the German.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that different people did that in their homes, and if possible, they had a German school where they learned. They had a separate school where they taught their language.
Mm-hmm. What do you think this would present a problem as far as the people in St. Paul's integrating into the rest of the social scene in Saginaw at the time? Wouldn't it have more of a tendency to set them off as their own little group than for them to mix in with the rest of Saginaw, or would it not?
Well, it could have that effect.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I didn't go through the experience of being brought up in German school.
I was just wondering, you know, what kind of an impact it had on the community.
More or less integrated with the mixing, melting pot, as you call it. There were all kinds of them.
Right.
At that time. And I think there was one thing, too. I doubt whether in these so-called German schools we... would have had some of the experiences we had of coming home with lice and having it cleaned up.
That's probably true. That's probably very true.
I had one nit in my hair, and one of my sisters had a louse once because we got cleaned up every day when we got home.
Yeah.
Gertrude, do you know where that large booklet is of Saginaw County, which has all kinds of pictures? You know, it's... I was looking for that stair.
Are there very many German schools like they had then, today?
I cannot think of one that they have today.
They don't do this in Frankenmuth? that's being more or less set up on the American style school system.
They may teach some German there because they have that German background.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only place where I could think of it being done.
Mm-hmm.
You can still talk German in Frankenmuth and be understood by quite a few people.
I should imagine so.
Same way with Milwaukee. I don't know how it is today, but I'd say around 45 years ago, I think you could talk German almost anywhere in Milwaukee and be understood by at least someone in earshot.
What is a convert?
A convert is one who comes from another faith joins in the terminology you have in the book there. Mm-hmm. First convert would be the first one. I think it mentioned the first convert who came from another faith and joined and became a Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
Now he may not even come from another faith. He may have no church background at all,
but it would just be an adult being taken into the Lutheran church.
Yes.
Okay, you were talking about that first convert. It was recorded in 1876. I thought that was interesting. Since that time, you also said that there were rarely any converts at St. Paul's. Is there any particular reason why you'd have such a low number of converts?
On what page is that?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Well, the first convert at that time is mentioned because it was quite unheard of for people to join the Lutheran Church, to come from another faith and join the Lutheran Church.
Oh, really?
In those days, I mean.
Why would that be?
Because most of the Lutheran congregations were solid German stock. And they grew from within more than from without.
Why?
And in the first history of the church, they usually married.
Inter-family marriage.
Their own ethnic group.
Uh-huh.
But, I had a lot of converts in that sense in St. Paul's. I know one year I had 33 of them. Later on it became very common. Another reason why there were no converts is because the people didn't understand the language, and most of the work of the church was carried on in German.
Oh, I see. Even the service then would be in
German. Oh, the services. Now, when I first got into the ministry, well, I was in Ottawa City, and they had no English service.
No English service at all.
Then they, at first, no English service. Then they had English only once a month. Well, when I got there, I told them that the church cannot expect to reach out if it keeps its services in a language that the other people can't understand. So I insisted on having two services every Sunday, a German and an English service. Now that isn't too awful long ago when they were solid German.
No.
Well, what happened was that still most of the people came to the German service. But there were those who came from non-German areas and they were added to the church then. Like, for instance, if a member of the church married someone who couldn't understand German, well, they would come to the English service, but before they had an English service, those people they didn't have any chance of becoming members except to hear an English sermon once a month, and
mm-hmm.
it was all signed to the German.
Is there any particular reason why they would keep it that way? I mean, do they want to keep the church to its own ethnic group?
No. I couldn't tell you why, because well, the reason I would say is the fact that they were all Germans,
and they just wanted everything in German.
And they wanted everything in German.
Were they from Germany?
Well, yes, the original Lutherans here in this area were practically all from Germany, and so they kept their.
Well, it would remind them more of home. It would make them feel more at home.
Although now in Minnesota it was different, in northern Michigan it was different. They had Scandinavian immigrants who were Lutheran, and so you had Norwegian Lutherans and Swedish Lutherans. And they did about the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Just, I would imagine the primary purpose would be just so they feel more at home.
Yes.
Not feel so foreign and so far away from their own home, you know, their original home.
Well, it's something that people remember from their childhood.
Right.
Now I have, I still have a few people, older people, that learned all their catechism in German. And though they will not speak anything but English, when I converse with them, when I have my devotions with them and give them private communion, I do it in German.
Well, babe. And yet when they speak with you in a regular conversation, they speak only English.
It's because it recalls their childhood training to them.
That's interesting.
I've even had cases where I was called to a very old person twice. That has happened to me. That were in comas. At least that's what they said. And this was a call which came, which I didn't know the people, but they were very seriously ill. And well, you respond to any call that you get. And when they said nobody can get through to them. Now, I had that experience twice, that I would recite to them German hymn verses which I knew were familiar to them. And that did something. They came out.
Well, for goodness sake.
The language did it.
Hmm. That's unusual.
Well, I think it's understandable, because they learned that. And somebody will come and talk to them about their religion in other terms, and it doesn't register. And then when they hear this, it's a familiar thing which immediately seems to impress and sink in.
Well, it's more
very rarely,
it's more natural.
Very rarely that happens, but...
Wouldn't you say that'd be more natural? I mean, German? To these people would be more natural than English?
They understand it better.
Right.
Just like I always have to think what a difference language makes. I took the family out to Saginaw Beach, and children were small. And I got mired in the sand. I had an old 27 Chevrolet, I guess it was. There were a bunch of Germans that came over from Germany that had a picnic underneath some willow trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I could hear them talking. And I went over there, thought, oh, there's some good husky fellows there. So I asked them, I said, that I'm stuck in the sand. And I wish I could stand a lift. And so they were looking at each other and talking. Well, I said, I still build her, don't make care of their stuff. I can come and so saying, you're a Rouse County, you're Kennedy, make help. And what does that old fool want? He got into it, so let him get out of it. We want to happen. So one of them got up and he said to me, no, we don't got no time. So when he said that, I said to them, schon gut, wenn sie nun nicht gedehm ist, dann lassen sie es nur gehen, ich werde schon herauskommen. I mean, very politely, I said to him, that's very fine with me. I will see how I can get out. you know, very polite. And, you know, they sat up, and one of these fellows says, "Carol's hooked! Boosty car! Come on, boys, get going, where's..." And then he looked at me, "Where's your car?" They all jumped up like that, like in a lightning bolt, you know. So I says, "Oh," I says, "you're dreaming."
All of a sudden, they understood.
They understood, you know. And so they just about ran me over. I ran ahead, and they followed me, and they got behind that car, and they pushed it out so fast. And after they had pushed it out, I says, "Must have been Indian shoulders up here. Why, what do I owe you for this now?" And they says, "Garnish, garnish, nothing, nothing, nothing." Oh, I said, they ought to ask, "No, no, no, no." Then they says, "Garen geschehen, Garen geschehen." We did this very gladly, Garen geschehen.
Uh-huh.
Geschehen, gladly, it has, Garen geschehen, you translate it in German, in English, by gladly happened. This has gladly happened, Garen geschehen. We don't say it that way, but that's good if you translate it that way. So, I said, when they wouldn't take anything, I says, "Dank geschehen." And they very politely said, "Bitte sehr."
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what, ever heard that.
Those two I know.
"Bitte sehr." And I said, "Auf Wiedersehen." "Ja, auf Wiedersehen." So you know what "auf Wiedersehen" is. But I mean, you can see what language will do sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Now, the English language was absolutely ineffective when I asked them at first.
Mm-hmm.
And the German was like a magic.
Right. I imagine it would be the same. Like for me, to go to a German Lutheran service would be strange. It would be unfamiliar to me. I probably could follow it, but it would be very unfamiliar. But for me to go to an English Lutheran service, that would be home. That would be, you know.
Yeah, even if you knew German, you wouldn't follow it very well. I mean, you don't. It isn't familiar that way.
No. Whereas the English would be very familiar and I'd feel very much at home. It would be like a real treat. Really, it would be...
Well, I still have a short German sermon every Sunday for a few people.
Do you?
Yes.
Marvelous. That's good. It brings them right home.
Some of them have learned it that way.
I thought I found it way on the bottom of the pile.
My word.
I was looking for it down there and I didn't find it.
Oh, there were all those big pictures and everything in there. And that mattress.
Well, that is a big book.
And the old one.
Oh, my word. They have big vats and things that they used to get the salt.
They used to call that the New York Works north of Milwaukee.
The New York Works?
They called it the New York Works. I don't know why they called it the New York Works. And they had, I don't know, there still were, from the New York Works, there still were regular schools left. It was like a big school about this round in circumference. And then it had a stem like a mushroom, you know, in the center, and another wheel on the other side. And you could pick those up, and we'd cut them apart, and you could make wagon wheels of them.
They were that big around?
Yes, well, this big around, little wagon wheels, play wagon wheels.
Oh, that's play wagon wheels.
And I can't figure out how they did that, but I figured it, that they had these standing over containers of water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they used those in the New York Works, but what they did at these salt manufacturing places was to use the sawdust of the lumber.
Mm-hmm.
When they cut it up, they took the sawdust and they burned the heated the boilers or the water, the salt water which they pumped out, they heated it and evaporated it and got the salt that way.
Oh, that's interesting. I know underneath Detroit there's a lot of salt mines. I didn't realize there were any.
Well, this wasn't salt. They didn't have any salt mines here. They pumped salt water out of the ground. They pumped the salt water out of the ground and evaporated it.
Oh, they didn't have mines? Oh, I see.
They had coal mines.
Mm-hmm. But not salt mines. I see. Now that makes more sense. Detroit is supposed to be honeycombed underneath with salt mines. And I didn't know that they had them here, and evidently they didn't have anything pumped out salt water instead.
No, they had coal mines here.
Coal mines.
Not too many, but they had one in Chesning. They had one at Monitor Mine in Bay City, where Big Chief Coal came from. They had, not too far from where Michigan Lutheran Seminary is today, between Court and Mackinac, they had a coal mine.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in your book that the ladies of St. Paul's did the laundry and for the seminary and students. Now, those are for boys in high school age?
Well, at that time it was their theological seminary.
Uh-huh. And for boys of high school age? Not for older?
No, at first, from the year 1900, and when the seminary first started, it was a training for ministers, mm-hmm. not a high school. And from 1909 on, it became just a high school. Before that, it was called a theological seminary.
Oh, I see. I noticed when the seminary first opened, the ladies at St. Paul's did the laundry for the boys and supplied sheets for the poor boys that couldn't afford them, and they really helped those boys out. Did they cook for them and that sort of thing too?
No, they had their own kitchen aid.
I was wondering too that we were talking before about the we talked about converts and about a voting member. And in between 1941 and 1951, the adult confirmands is higher than those from the school. Does that mean that you're getting more people from the outside than coming from the school?
Yes.
Is that good? I mean, is that...
Well,
it helps increase the congregation.
It shows that you have growth from the outside.
And not just from the inside.
That's right.
Would there be any particular reason why over the last, 90 years or so? About 90 years, why there would be such a shift? Whereas before it was all inside and now it's more outside?
The reason for that would be that the change from the German to the English made it the church more accessible to other people, so that it was much more likely that you would have people from the outside joining the church.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea when St. Paul's changed from the all-German service to English and possibly German both, or just English?
I don't know whether it could have probably taken place around 1915.
1915?
See, once. Maybe 1917, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh. They shifted from the all-German to English besides.
That was general at that time. The reason for a shift at that time was that there was more, I suppose, more contact with the outsider. It was beginning. I mean, they weren't separated so much. But I would say, my guess would be best to ask this, we'd be about right 1918.
About
1918. 1915, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. Because at the time of the First World War, there was very strong anti-German people.
I can understand that, fighting the Kaiser and so on.
Very strong anti-German feeling.
Did the church feel, were there any adverse effects towards the church? I mean, did any people
bother? Well, in general there weren't, but in specific instances, there were very strong reactions toward the German churches. Hmm. Like, for instance, in Ludington, they painted the church doors yellow, there was a time when I can remember when to be German was like being the worst thing you could be.
Would that be primarily in World War One or during World War II?
World War Two, I don't think it was so pronounced.
But World War One it was.
But in World War Two, I don't think that there was that anymore.
Did St. Paul's have any, like painting of the doors or breaking of windows or things like that? Well, that speaks rather well for the setting of a rally.
Well, those were very rare instances. And I would say that the cases, those cases were cases where you had some radicals and just going off on a deep end.
Well, you've written your book about St. Paul's was up to 1951. What have they been doing since then in the last 22 years?
I haven't been with St. Paul's since 1959. I think they've been going along the course of the... Of course, St. Paul's has separated from the Missouri... The Wisconsin WELS is separated from Missouri Synod.
They're separate now?
Yes. I mean, there used to be the Synodical Conference, but that isn't anymore.
But Wisconsin withdrew?
Yes. That was one reason why they were going to continue, but I didn't feel like that was the right thing. That's why I am where I am. I mean, I started out all on my own again. Of course, the Missouri Synod is having quite a time.
They're having a hard time? I know they have...
Well, this New Orleans... I think there's going to be quite a split in the Missouri Synod.
Has this been coming on for quite some time?
Oh, yeah. Because the Missouri Synod still has some good conservative people in it, but they have in their teaching staff at the Concordia College, different ones that are following this, what you'd call a higher historical critical method of viewing the Bible, which means that some of them are going for this, that the Bible is, well, some of it is, it isn't all inspired, some of it is myths and legends.
And there are people like that teaching that type of thing within the Missouri Synod?
Yeah. They're going to have quite a time. I don't know if you've known, if you follow that out at all, but I don't know what's going to happen. They tried to depose these men, but of course they're going so liberal.
And when you speak of deposing, do you mean removing them from their pulpit?
From the teaching in Concordia Seminary.
From their teaching?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got the same thing all over. The things are getting so liberal that people don't know what to believe anymore.
That's true.
And Missouri has gone quite a ways in the wrong direction, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So your church then is Gethsemane across the street. That is in the Missouri Synod, or it is not?
No, we have taken a separate position of being conservative, scriptural, in every which way. Not going along with the new trends.
Are you connected then with any specific synod?
Yes, with the Church of the Lutheran Confession.
That's one I haven't heard of.
Well, we just organized.
Oh, I see.
1960. No, about
1960. Mm-hmm. That's very good. No, I wasn't really familiar with the
You are a Lutheran.
I was.
You aren't anymore.
No. No, that's it.